You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your goodness, for your presence in this place, Lord. If it wasn't for your presence sustains us. We thank you, God, that you would just speak to us clearly today. Let us have something that we can run with, just like Habakkuk 2:2. Give us something we can run out of this place with and apply in our lives and see victory, see success, see the blessings of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I believe God wants to bless us. Turn to somebody and say, I believe God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless me. God wants to bless each and every one of us. You know, we could listen to the naysayers, or we could listen to the people that have lost faith in the fact that God wants to bless. But I believe the Word of God says He wants to bless us. Does anybody have that type of feeling in your spirit that you know God wants to bless you? I wanted to really talk along those lines today about the blessed life. The blessed life, not the average life, not the so-so life, not the just making it by life, but the blessed life. Is it all right if I talk about the blessed life? Because I started to think about this, started to pray about it this week. It got me a little bit excited. And I was talking to some of the members last week, and we were talking about how good God was in the message last week. And we were talking about just running out of the church, just taking a run, that God was so good. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but sometimes you hear the Word of God and the promises of God, and it just makes you want to just shout or run or something. And this is what happened. I believe God wants to bless us, the blessed life. But if you want to be blessed, you need to put something in the ground. If you want to be blessed, you need to put something in the ground. I want to encourage you with this, because it's a principle of life. It's a principle of blessing. The blessing follows a certain process. Come on, say it with me. Put something in the ground. Put something in the ground. You know, because it's in the very beginning, this is what God was doing. This is how God created this dynamic spiritual concept, this thing of sowing and reaping, this thing where if I need something in my life, I need to sow the seed of that thing so that I can see the harvest come forth. And if I don't like what I'm receiving in my life, I need to stop and take a look at what I'm putting in the ground. Look at somebody and say, if you don't like what you got, check what you're putting in the ground. Sometimes you got to do inventory and see what you're putting in the ground. Because everything starts with a seed and ends with a harvest. It starts with a seed and ends with a harvest. It can be a harvest of a good crop. It could be a harvest of a bad crop. It could be a harvest of faith. It could be a harvest of doubt. It could be a harvest of something. But for sure, there's going to be something there's a harvest of. You know, and when I look, sometimes it seems like people think that they're supposed to be in lack. But it's probably because they haven't put anything in the ground. In the beginning, God created things that would produce seed. God produced things that would produce seed. Genesis 1:11 tells us, and God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. So depending on whatever your kind is, you're going to multiply that same thing. Whatever things that you're doing in your life, that same thing is going to multiply in your life. See, God created us to multiply. God created the plants to multiply. God created the animals to multiply. God created us to multiply. And we're all the time multiplying things. We're planting seeds and we're seeing all types of different sorts of things. But if you don't have something in your life, you're not going to multiply that thing. You can't expect a harvest of something that's not, the seed of it isn't inside of you. And the seed that you haven't put in the ground. So we have to sow to reap. We have to sow something to reap something. Everybody just real quick, maybe just take a big deep breath and hold it. Take a big deep breath. Don't let it out. Just hold it. Don't give it up. Don't give the breath. Just hold the breath. I want you to see what begins to happen in your body. Do you feel that that breath is getting stale? Do you feel that breath is, it's not giving life to you anymore? And because it's a principle that applies in the natural and in the spiritual. When we, yes, you can let your breath. When people are passing out in this place, holding your breath too long. But the truth is, it's true through and through. Each breath you must give up before you can receive anew. This principle is so true that if you hold on to the wrong things, it can kill you. You have to give. You have to give. To live, you got to give. You got to give that breath up if you want to get a new one. If you want to get a harvest of breath, you got to give the one up that you got right now. And so we live by giving and receiving. And that process happens in the spiritual as well as the natural. Come on, that can preach. I can live because I give. I can live because I give. It's a process. It's a process. It's a thing that God set up, because when we hold on to something too long, it becomes stale. It becomes powerless. This principle of seed time and harvest, of giving and receiving, of sowing and reaping, it's a divine principle that was established in the beginning. God, when he was creating everything, he established this principle. Before the law, before Moses, before any of that, a principle of the universe. When God set things in order, it's how things work. And giving pleases God. Giving pleases God. I can't help but think of the story of Cain and Abel. See, one brother, he gave something, and the other brother, he gave something. Actually, there was nobody in the story that didn't give something. Cain gave something, Abel gave something. What was the difference, though, between the gift that one pleased God and one didn't please God? Come on, we're talking about putting something in the ground. We're talking about giving something. What is it? Genesis 4:3 says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Somebody say some. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn, somebody say first, of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. What was the difference in the gift? Can I tell you, you can come to church and you can give, and the person next to you receive a different result than you received, because just like Cain and Abel, they both gave, but they gave something different. Can I tell you what the difference was? Can I tell you that today? Cain gave some, Abel gave his best. Cain gave some, Abel gave his best. Now look, this is a revelation for some people in here, because you've been saying, God, I've been given. God, I've been planting some seed. But you've been given some instead of giving your best. This is critical. This is critical. Because if I say to myself, I'm giving something to God, I'm going to give my very best. We just sang a song that said everything and nothing less. I give you my best. I give you my all, right? Because that should be the concept. But Abel and Cain had two different mentalities when they approached putting something in the ground. One gave his best. One gave something that he had. You know, when I was about 22 years old, I bought this keyboard. I love this keyboard. It was before Pastor Corinne, so it's all right for me to say that. I love this keyboard. This keyboard slept in my room, okay? This keyboard would be beside my bed at night. It's all right. This is before my wife. It's okay. I would lovingly break this thing down, bring it to church, bring it back carefully, put it back into my room. It had a touch screen monitor. It's my first professional keyboard. I love this keyboard. It's a beautiful keyboard. That, you had to be like in good with me to actually get to touch this keyboard. It's a special thing. It's a treasure to me. So we're in the midst of youth prayer one night, and I hadn't had the keyboard for long. I don't know, maybe a year. It was still sleeping beside my bed, right? And, man, the Spirit was moving. It was so awesome. People were in the altar. The kids were in the altar. There were some adults there. They were in the altar. God was just moving. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, I want you to give your keyboard to that young man over there. And I said, I rebuke that. That's not the Lord. I said, Lord, I took all my money out of my savings account and I bought this keyboard. This is my favorite keyboard. This is my best keyboard. God said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. I want you to give your keyboard to that young man over there. And I gave the keyboard. It was very difficult for me. It was my best keyboard. It was my favorite keyboard. But yet I was obedient. And out of that, over the next few years, I received an abundance of keyboards. You might be laughing. That might not mean that much to you. Maybe you're not a keyboardist. But today, I have four keyboards at my house. I have two at the office. I got one at the church. I got one loaned out to a friend. I got more keyboards than I know what to do with. But how did that happen? How did that happen? How did I move into abundance? Well, I moved into abundance by being obedient and giving my best. I didn't say, well, you know what? Maybe I could find another keyboard lying around here. Maybe I could give my old keyboard that the new one replaced. And then it could be a win-win. It could be a negotiation with the Lord, right? But you see, and I didn't just get keyboards out of that. God did other things in my life with music and with worship and with relationships. But I received that abundance because I didn't hold back my best when God asked me. And it reminded me of a story with Abraham. When God asked Abraham for his best. Turn to somebody and say, put something in the ground. Put something in the ground. You know, Abraham, God said, I want you to give me your best. Give me the son of the promise. Give me your favorite son. Give me that one. I want you to give me your son. And so Abraham, without hesitation, he doesn't try to substitute Ishmael. He does not try to take somebody else's son and give a spiritual son to the Lord. He gives his best. He gives exactly what God asked for. And out of that, we see Abraham, God blesses him. Watch the harvest that happens. Watch the harvest that happens. God asks for a son, and then he gives the son, and he makes him not the father of many sons, the father of many nations. You can't even comprehend the abundance that's about to come into your life when you can unlock this principle of giving your best. Abraham gave his best. God gave back much more than he could have even imagined. He gave him back. He made him the father of many nations. And so we see a heavenly exchange takes place when we aren't afraid to release part of our lives and receive what God has for us. Okay? So it's like this. God, I'm going to give up a part, a special part of my life. Some of the best of my life, I'm going to give it to you. And in return, he's going to have a covenant response of giving something back to us. But can I tell you the truth? A lot of times we do this as Christians. We believe that we're somehow going to be shortchanged. God is going to somehow rip us off. That when God says, I want you to give that, I want you to give your best in this area, we think somehow that we're going to end up with the short end of the stick. Can I tell you how strange and ridiculous that assumption is? That God would replace what you give with something inferior. Does that sound like something that has ever happened in the Word of God? in God's track record, that he ever replaces something that you give with something inferior. You know, I was reading some of the past men of old, some of the businessmen that had such a powerful testimony of giving. When I looked at William Colgate, the founder of Colgate, that he was a tither. He was a giver. He was a man of faith. When I look at Henry Crowell of Quaker Oats, who was a tither. When I look at John D. Rockefeller, that was a tither and a giver and a Sunday school teacher, by the way. First U.S. billionaire. He was a Sunday school teacher. He still had time to tithe his time and his talent. Not just his money. He didn't just say, I'm going to work and I'll send in my tithe. But he said, I'm going to give God my best. I'm going to come in, I'm going to teach. I love that. I was spending some time with some of the children's teachers a couple of weeks back, and I love that. It's so powerful to give of yourself. You know, if you're just giving of your resources, let me tell you something, you're really missing out. Because part of your best is when you plant yourself, your tithe, your time, your talent, rather. And one great story, I was looking at R.G. Letourneau, and he was the greatest inventor of all times of land-moving equipment. And a lot of the stuff that you see today, you know, in construction or in farming, you wouldn't see that stuff today if this man wouldn't have invented some of these things that you see today. But he had this crazy idea, and he was such a man of faith that his business peers called him God's businessman. He made millions of dollars, and he had this crazy concept of giving back 90%. He said, I'm going to live off of 10%. Could you imagine having the faith that you would have more than enough and still have 20% left over, 30% left over, 50% left over, that you could invest, you could put that in the ground? I'm challenging your faith today. Could you trust God that he could take you? I'm not saying it happened immediately for RG or that it happened that way for Rockefeller overnight, but it started somewhere. But God took them to a place that they said, you know what? I only need 50%, or I only need 60%, or I only need, like RG said, I only need 10%. And he had more than enough. More than enough. I believe God wants to take us to a place of overflow. Look at somebody say, I believe. God wants to take me to a place of overflow. How many would like to be at a place of overflow? Absolutely. Because it starts somewhere. It starts with obedience. It starts with giving God our best. What can we put in the ground? Can you be a Sunday school teacher like John Rockefeller? Can you be a witness like Letourneau? That in between working and inventing and making millions of dollars, he would travel around and speak about the goodness of God. He would be on the mission field or go to missions or go to Christian retreats and speak about the goodness of God. I know you want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. But what are you willing to put in the ground? Jesus says something really interesting in Luke 6:38. He says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, it'll be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Listen, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, I believe because RG, I believe that because of some of these great men, they knew how to use a different tool of measurement. God was able to bless them to a different extent. Want a greater blessing? Use a larger scoop. You see, some of us really haven't given God enough to work with. We've given him something. Like Cain, we gave him some. God didn't cast us out, but what we gave didn't please him. That was Cain's major thing. He said, well, going around downcast. God told Cain, he said, it's all right. Just give the right thing and it'll be right. You'll have the same deal that Abel had. You'll have the same blessing. You'll see that I'm pleased the same way that I am with Abel. So don't be downcast. What's the size of your scoop today? God wants us to be in the overflow. Do you have a small scoop? Do you have a large scoop? What do you trust in God with when God says, give me your best in this area? Give me your best in that area. Are we able to have the faith? Are we able to have the trust? Are we able to have the obedience to say, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. The smartest people I know how to give. I stopped taking advice from takers. I'm not interested. It doesn't make sense. God blesses givers, people that know how to put something in the ground. I've seen the life of takers. I've seen the life of givers. I've seen takers, they walk around with holes in their pocket. Even if it's not financial holes in their pocket, it's health, it's family, there's holes in their life. God wants us to have the overflow. Can you say it with me one last time? Put something in the ground. I believe this is what God wants for you today. God wants you to put something in the ground. Maybe it's money, maybe it's not. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's your gift. God's saying, put your best in the ground. Put your best in the ground. Give me something to work with. Maybe you've been measuring something out in your life and God's saying, trust me with a bigger scoop. Trust me and see if I don't bless, if I don't multiply what you're putting in the ground. I believe this is your moment. I believe this is the promise of God that he gave, that this house would be a house of Josephs. God wants each and every one of us to have the blessed life in our family, in our career, in our health, in our finances, in our calling. Will you bow your head with me and let's pray. God, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. Lord, it's not by accident. It's by divine appointment, Lord, that we're sitting here. God, you ordered our steps. You caused us to be in this place, here in this message today, in the midst of this worship, so that they could experience a revelation of you, so that we could go to a higher level and we could trust you to a greater place and we could put something in the ground and we could see the blessings of God in our life, so that we don't live an average life, a so-so life, a life of lack, but God, that we take a step farther. God, that we trust a little more than we were trusting before. We have faith to step out on the water and say, God, I'll follow you out there. If that's what you're saying, I'll give my best in that area. Maybe you want a blessed life. God, I just pray that you'd give the faith to each and every person that wants to have that blessed life. God, give them the faith to step out on the water, to step out beyond where they've gone before, so that you can bless them a little more. Bless them a little more. Take the ceiling off the blessing. Use a larger scoop. I thank you for them, and I thank you. Maybe there's somebody here that you say, I want that blessed life, but I feel a little disconnected with my relationship with God today. I feel like I kind of drifted away from Jesus a little bit, and I know I need to get that right today. I feel something in my heart that I need to reconnect with him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. If that's you, I just want to pray with you right now. Amen. 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 That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing, to make sure I'm where I need to be with Jesus. I'm where I need to be to receive everything that he has for me. If you raise your hand, pray this prayer with me, and everybody else, you can pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for giving me your eternal promise of salvation, of heaven, of reconnecting me with the Father. I receive that free gift. Now teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to have the blessed life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.